Welcome to the Mystery Behind Art History, your favorite podcast for all things fine art in the past.
We know we've been absent a little bit lately, but we have a full-length episode for you today.
Lily's right. I've just started a new job and she just began college a few months ago, so we've definitely had our hands full. Anyway, just like before, we've got a question of the day, so let's get to that. Lily, do you want to ask our listeners today's question?
Sure thing, Alexandra. We're doing it a little bit differently this time. For our listeners tuning in during the first 24 hours of this episode's release, a poll will be available on our Instagram page at The Mystery Behind Art History for you guys to answer as well. Alexandra, today's question is, what's the best thing you've got going on in your life at the moment? Give us your answer.
I think the best thing going on in my life right now is my new job. I just started working at a coffee shop near my house, so it's been a nice change of scenery from the quarantine I've gotten so used to over the past couple months. What about you, Lily?
For me, I think the best thing going on in my life at this moment is that I've almost finished my first semester in college. School has definitely been keeping me busy, but I am enjoying it even in these crazy times.
Wow, that's so great. I'm so glad that's going well for you.
Thank you. What do you say we get started with today's episode?
Sure thing. Today we're reporting on Salvador Dali, a Spanish surrealist artist renowned for his technical skill, precise draftsmanship, and the striking and bizarre images in his work.
Dali was born in Figueres, Catalonia, and received his formal education in fine arts at Madrid. He was influenced by Impressionism and the Renaissance and became increasingly attracted to Cubism and avant-garde movements. He moved closer to Surrealism in the late 1920s, eventually joining the movement in 1929 and later becoming one of its leaders. Dali's best-known work and one of the most famous Surrealist paintings, The Persistence of Memory, was completed in August 1931. Dali lived in the Spanish Civil War and left Europe in 1940 for the United States, where he achieved commercial success. He returned to Spain 8 years later in 1948, where he announced his return to Catholicism. It was back in Spain where he developed his nuclear mysticism style, which was based on his interest in classicism, mysticism, and recent scientific developments.
Dali's artistic repertoire included painting, graphic arts, film, sculpture, design, and photography. He even collaborated with other artists at times. Dali also had an interest in literature and wrote fiction, poetry, autobiography, essays, and criticism. Major themes of his work include dreams, the subconscious, sexuality, religion, science, and his closest work or in his closest relationships. Unfortunately, for those who have held his work in high regard and his critics, his eccentric and ostentatious public behavior often drew more criticism than his artwork. An example of this was his support for the Spanish dictatorship. However, despite this controversy, his life and work were still important inspirations to other artists such as Jeff Koons and Damien Hirst.
There are two major museums devoted to Dali's works, the Dali Theater Museum in Figueres and the Salvador Dali Museum in St. Petersburg.
Salvador Dali was born on May 11th, 1904, in the town of Figueres, Catalonia, Spain, close to the French border. Dali's older brother, who had also been named Salvador, had died of gastroenteritis 9 months or earlier. His father, Salvador Rafael Ansieto Dali Cusi, was a middle-class notary and lawyer and was an anti-clerical atheist and Catalan federalist. Dali's father's short temper was mediated by Dali's mother, Felipa Domenech Ferris, who encouraged her son's artistic endeavors.
Dali was haunted by the idea of his dead brother throughout his life, and he immortalized him in his works. Images of his brother appeared in his later works like Portrait of My Dead Brother.
Dali also had a sister named Anna Maria who was 3 years younger. She actually ended up publishing a book about him in 1949 called Dali as Seen by His Sister.
His childhood friends included future FC Barcelona footballers Sagi Barba and Josep Samsentier. During holidays, the trio played football together.
Dali attended the Municipal Drawing School at Figueres from 1916. He discovered modern painting while on a summer vacation trip that same year. The following year, his father organized an exhibition of his charcoal drawings in their family home. He had his first public exhibition at 14 in 1918 at the Municipal Theater in Figueres, where he would later return. In 1921, Dali was introduced to Futurism by the family Roman Pichot, a local artist who made regular trips to Paris. His uncle, Anselm Domenech, who owned a bookshop in Barcelona, supplied him with books and magazines on Cubism and contemporary art.
Unfortunately, in 1921, when Dali was 17 years old, his mother died of uterine cancer. He later described this moment as the greatest blow I had experienced in my life. After Philippa's death, his father married her sister, Dali's aunt. Despite this unconventional relationship, Dali had great respect for his aunt and did not resent their marriage.
In 1922, Dali moved to the Residencia de Estudiantes in Madrid and studied at the Real Academia de Bellas Artes de San Fernando. Dali was an unconventional figure physically. Standing a mere 5 feet 8 inches, he drew attention to himself as eccentric and dandy. With sideburns and long hair, he has often been characterized as looking very slant.
At the Residencia, he began friendships with Pepe Bello, Luis Buñuel, and Federico García Lorca, among others, who were influential in the avant-garde group Ultra. Lorca even attempted sexual advances towards Dali, though they were denied. This friendship with Lorca is said to be one of his most intense relationships up until Lorca's dramatic death at the hands of nationalist forces in 1936 during the Spanish Civil War.
Also in 1922, he began a lifelong relationship with Prado Museum, which according to him was the best museum of old paintings in the world. Every Sunday, Dali went to the museum to study the works of previous great masters.
Dali's paintings, in which he experimented with cubism, earned him the most attention from his fellow students since there were no cubist artists in Madrid at the time. Cabaret Scene is a good example of such a work. Through his association with previously mentioned members of the Ultra Group, Dali became more acquainted with avant-garde movements such as Dada and Futurism. One of his earliest works shows the Futurist and Cubist influences in the watercolor Night Walking Dreams. It was also at this time that Dali read Freud and La Tremante, who dramatically influenced his work.
In May of 1925, Dali exhibited 11 works in a group exhibition held by the newly formed Sociedad Ibérica de Artistas in Madrid. 7 of the works were in his cubist style and 4 in the more realistic style. A number of leading critics praised Dali's work. In November of 1925, Dali had his first solo exhibition at Galeria del Mau in Barcelona, Spain. This exhibition included 22 works and was a critical and commercial success.
In April of 1929, Dali made his first trip to Paris, where he met Pablo Picasso, who he admired very much. Picasso had already heard favorable reports about Dali from Joan Miró, a fellow Catalonian who had introduced him to many surrealist friends. As Dali developed his own style over the next few years, his works became more and more influenced by the art of Picasso and Miró. Speaking of Dali's influences, he was also affected by the work of Yves Tanguy, a French surrealist painter.
Dali left the Royal Academy in 1926, shortly before his final exams. His mastery of painting skills at that time was evidenced by his realistic The Basket of Bread, painted in 1926.
Later that same year, Dali exhibited again at Galeries del Mau from December 31st, 1926, to January 14th, 1927, with the support of the art critic Sébastien Gasque.
From 1927 on, Dali's work became more and more influenced by the Surrealist movement. Two of his most famous Surrealist paintings are Honey is Sweeter Than Blood and Gadget in Hand. These two works were shown at the annual Autumn Salon in October 1927. Dali described Honey is Sweeter Than Blood as equidistant between Cubism and Surrealism. Just as we now look at these works as his bridge between Cubism and Surrealism, Honey is Sweeter Than Blood and Gadget in Hand sparked lively debates among both the public and critics about whether Dali had become a surrealist.
Like mentioned before, Dali became increasingly influenced by his reading of Freud. He frequently introduced suggestive sexual imagery and symbolism into his works. A good example of one of these more risky pieces is Dialogue on the Beach, which he rejected from the Barcelona Autumn Salon for 1928 because it wasn't fit to be exhibited in any gallery habitually visited by the numerous public little prepared for certain surprises.
Dali was influenced by many styles of art, ranging from most academically class to the most cutting-edge and avant-garde. Puzzled critics who noted an apparent inconsistency within his work by the use of both traditional and modern techniques and motifs between works, and even within individual works, drew Dali a great amount of press.
Of course, we can't talk about the great Salvador Dali without mentioning his well-known mustache. I'll just give you a short bit of interesting info about it. Dali grew a neatly trimmed mustache in the mid-1920s, but eventually cultured a more exciting one that was influenced by the style of Diego Velázquez's facial hair. This later mustache became the Dali icon.
Moving on to another period of Dali's life and career, in 1929, Dali collaborated with surrealist film director Louis Buñuel on the short film En Chien Andalou. His main contribution was to help Buñuel write a script for the film. Remember that earlier I mentioned Dali's great interest in literature as well as visual art. Dali also claimed to have a substantial role in the filming of the project, but this assert is not proven by contemporary accounts. In August of 1929, Dali met his lifelong muse and future wife, Gala. She was a Russian immigrant 10 years his senior and was, at the time they met, married to surrealist poet Paul Eluard.
In works such as The First Days of Spring, The Great Masturbator, and Lugubrious Game, Dali continued to explore the themes of sexual anxiety and unconscious desires that I mentioned earlier. Dali's first Paris exhibition was at the recently opened Goemans Gallery in November of 1929 and featured 11 works. André Breton, a French writer and poet, described Dali's new work as the most hallucinatory that has up to now. The exhibition, while a commercial success, had a divided critical response. Dali officially joined the Surrealist group in the Montparnasse Quarter of Paris later that same year at the age of 25.
Meanwhile, Dali's close relationship with his father was close to rupture. Dali's father strongly disapproved of his son's romance and saw his connection to the Surrealists as bad influence. Dali was violently thrown out of his paternal home on December 28th of 1929 after his father saw a drawing of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ with a provocative description, "Sometimes I spit for fun on my mother's portrait." When Dali refused to recant, his father severed ties. However, Dali's father would eventually relent and rebuild a relationship with his son.
In 1931, Dali painted one of his most famous works, The Persistence of Memory. If you don't recognize the name of this work, you'd probably recognize it by the painting itself. The painting develops a surrealistic image of soft, melting pocket watches. The general assumption about the work is that the soft watches are a rejection of the supposition that time is rigid or settled.
Dali had two important exhibitions at the Pierre Cole Gallery in Paris in June 1931 and May-June 1932. The earlier exhibition included 16 paintings, counting The Persistence of Memory. Many of the paintings included the proliferation of images and references to Dali's muse Gala and the inclusion of surrealist objects such as the hypnagogic clock and clock based on the decomposition of bodies. Dali's last and largest exhibition at the Pierre Cole Gallery was held in June of 1933, when Dali was 29 years old, and included 22 paintings, 10 drawings, and 2 objects. One critic noted Dali's precise draftsmanship and attention to detail, describing him as a paranoiac of geometrical temperament. Dali's first New York exhibition was located at Julian Levy's gallery in the later months of 1933. In this display, Dali included 23 works and enjoyed a commercial and critical success. The New Yorker praised the works, noting the precision and lack of sentimentality, calling them frozen nightmares.
Dalí and Gala, having lived together for 5 years by 1934, were civilly married in January of 1934 in Paris. They later remarried 24 years later in a church ceremony in 1958 at Sainte-Marie-Val, a village in the province of Girona, Spain. Gala, in addition to inspiring many artworks throughout her life, was also Dalí's business manager. Both Gala and Dalí participated in extramarital affairs. Dalí continued to paint her throughout her life, producing commiserating and loving images of Gala. The couple's relationship, lasting over 50 years, would later become the subject of an opera, Jo Dalí, by Catalan composer Xavier Benguerel.
Dalí's first visit to the United States in 1934 at the age of 30 sparked widespread press coverage. His second New York exhibition was located in the same location as his first, the Julian Levy Gallery, almost exactly a year later, in November and December of 1934. Again, he enjoyed commercial and critical success. Dalí delivered three lectures at the Museum of Modern Art as well.
While many members of the Surrealist movement were heavily involved in leftist politics, Dalí chose the more apolitical path, refusing to explicitly denounce fascism.
In 1936, Dalí took part in the London International Surrealist Exhibition. His lecture, titled Fantimes, Paranoiaques, Authentiques, was delivered while wearing a deep-sea diving suit and helmet. As if that wasn't already different enough, Dalí had arrived carrying a billiard cue and leading a pair of Russian wolfhounds and had to have the helmet unscrewed as he gasped for breath.
Dalí's first solo London exhibition was held at the Alex Reed and Lefevre Gallery the same year. The show included 29 paintings and 18 drawings. The exhibition was mostly a success, less a few passive comments from various daily broadcast newspapers.
In December 1936, Dalí participated in the Fantastic Art Dada exhibition at MoMA, and the third solo exhibition at the Julian Levy Gallery. Both exhibitions attracted widespread press coverage and large attendances. The painting Soft Construction with Boiled Beans attracted particular attention. On December 14, 1936, Dalí, aged 32, was featured on the cover of Time magazine.
From 1933, Dalí was supported by Zodiac, a group of affluent admirers who each contributed to a monthly stipend for the painter in exchange of their choice. Dalí's main patron in London was the wealthy Edward James, who would financially support him for 2 years. One of the most important of Dalí's works during James's patronage was The Metamorphosis of Narcissus. They also collaborated on two of the most famous surrealist works, The Lobster Telephone and the Mae West Lip Sofa.
Dalí was in London when the Spanish Civil War broke out in July of 1936.
In January of 1938, Dalí unveiled Rainy Taxi, a three-dimensional artwork consisting of an automobile and two mannequin occupants being soaked with rain from within the taxis. The piece was first displayed at the Galerie Beaux-Arts in Paris at the International Exposition of Surrealism, organized by André Breton and Paul Elouard. The exposition was designed by artist Marcel Duchamp, who also served as host.
In March later that year, Dalí met Sigmund Freud, an Austrian neurologist and the founder of psychoanalysis. Dalí started to sketch Freud's portrait, who was 82 at the time. Dalí took great pride in the work he did for his hero.
In September of 1938, Dalí was invited by the one and only Coco Chanel to her house, La Pausa in Roquebrune on the French Riviera. There, he painted numerous paintings that he would later exhibit at Julian Levy Gallery in New York. This exhibition, from March to April 1939, included 21 paintings and 11 drawings. Life magazine reported that no exhibition in New York had been so popular since American-born painter James McNeil Whistler showed his Arrangement in Gray and Black No. 1 was shown in 1934.
At the 1939 New York World's Fair, Dali debuted his Dream of Venus Surrealist Pavilion, which was located in the amusement sections of the exposition. It featured bizarre sculptures, statues, mermaids, and live nude models in costumes made of fresh seafood.
In the May issue of the Surrealist magazine Minotaur, André Breton announced Dalí's expulsion from the Surrealist group, citing that Dalí had adopted race war and that his over-refinement of his paranoid critical method was a repudiation of Surrealist automatism, a method of art in which the artist suppresses any control over the work and lets the mind create freely. When Dalí was expelled from the group, many Surrealists broke off ties with him. In 1949, Breton coined the name Avida Dollars, an anagram for Salvador Dali, as a derogatory term describing Dali's hustle.
When World War II broke out in September of 1939, Dali was in France. They were able to escape because in June 1940, they were issued visas by Aristides de Sousa Mendes, Portuguese consul in Bordeaux, France. They crossed into Portugal and later sailed from Lisbon to New York in August of 1940. Dali and Gala lived in the US for 8 years, splitting their time between New York and the Monterey Peninsula, California.
Dali spent the 1940 at Hampton Manor in Virginia, where he worked on various projects, including his autobiography.
Dali announced the death of the Surrealist movement and the return of classicism in his 1941 exhibition at the Julian Levy Gallery in New York. This exhibition included 19 paintings among other works. Dali proclaimed a return to shape, jurisdiction, and construction. This was unfortunately not a great success for Dali, as sales were not fantastic and critics didn't see a large change in Dali's works.
Dalí was the subject of a major joint retrospective exhibition with Juan Miró at MoMA from November 1941 to February 1942. Dalí was represented by 42 paintings and 16 drawings. Dalí's work attracted the attention of critics, and the exhibition later toured 8 American cities, boosting his reputation in the States.
In October 1942, Dali's autobiography, The Secret Life of Salvador Dali, was published in New York and London. Time magazine called it one of the most irresistible books of the year. A passage in the autobiography in which Dali claimed that Buñuel was solely responsible for the anti-clericism in the film L'Âge d'Or may have indirectly led to Buñuel losing his position at MoMA in 1943. Dali also published a novel, Hidden Faces, in 1944, but this book achieved less critical and commercial success.
Dalí continued his attack on surrealism in New York in 1943 in the catalog essay for his exhibition at the Knoedler Gallery, writing, "Surrealism will at least have served to give experimental proof that total sterility and attempts at automatizations have gone too far and have led to a totalitarian system. Today's laziness and the total lack of technique have reached paroxysm in the psychological significance of the current use of the collage."
In November through December of 1945, when Dali was 41 years old, he exhibited new works at the Bignouot Gallery in New York. The exhibition included 11 oil paintings, watercolors, drawings, and illustrations. This exhibition included Basket of Bread, a painting that is said to convey political context into Dali's lifestyle and beliefs.
During the war years, Dalí was also engaged in projects outside of the traditional field of painting, watercolor, drawing, and illustrating. Dalí executed designs for multiple ballets, including Labyrinth. In 1945, he created the dream sequence for Alfred Hitchcock's film Spellbound. He also produced artwork and designs for products such as perfumes, costumes, and ties.
In 1946, Dali worked on a film with Walt Disney and animator John Hench. Unfortunately, the film Destino remained unfinished during Disney and Dali lifetimes, but was released in 2003 when Hench was 94.
Dalí again exhibited new work at the Bignouot Gallery from November 1947 to January 1948. The 14 paintings and other works exhibited Dali's increasing interest in atomic physics, a motif we don't see often in fine arts. He even worked with a mathematician to figure out the correct proportions for his study, Lita Atomica, a painting produced in 1949.
In early 1948, Dali's 50 Secrets of Magic Craftsmanship was published. The book was a mixture of practical advice on painting, anecdotes, and Dalinian polar.
In 1948, Dali and Gala moved back to their house in Port Liggett on the coast near Cattaquez. For the next 30 years, they would spend most of their time there, spending winters in Paris and New York. Dali's decision to live in Spain under the dictatorship of Francisco Franco and his public support of the regime prompted outrage among many artists and intellectuals. Pablo Picasso refused to mention Dali's name or acknowledge him for the rest of his life.
In December of 1949, Dali's sister, Anna Maria, published her book Salvador Dali, Seen by a Sister. Dali was angered by the passages, which he considered derogatory towards his wife, Gala, and broke off relationships with his family. When Dali's father died in September 1950, Dali learned that he had essentially been disinherited from the will.
As Dali moved further towards embracing Catholicism, he included more religious iconography and themes in his paintings. In 1949, he painted a study for the Madonna of Port Liggett. This work was a precursor to the phase Dali dubbed nuclear mysticism, a fusion of Einsteinian physics, classicism, and Catholic mysticism.
Dali's interest in natural science and mathematics was further manifested by the ontogenesis of images of DNA and rhinoceros horn shapes in works from the mid-1950s. According to Dali, the rhinoceros horn signifies divine geometry because it grows in a logarithmic spiral. Dali was absolutely obsessed with the tesseract and used it in crucifixion.
Dali had been extensively using optical illusions, such as double images and anamorphosis, since his surrealist period, and continued to do so in his later works. At some point, Dali had a glass floor installed in a room near his studio in Port Liggett. He made extensive use of it to study the effects of light. Dali also experimented with the bullet technique pointillism. In Dali's later years, young artists such as Andy Warhol proclaimed him an important influence on pop art.
In 1960, Dali began to work on his theater museum in his hometown of Figueres. It was the largest single project and the main focus of his energy through to 1974 when it opened. He continued to make additions through the mid-1980s.
In 1955, Dali met Nanita Kalashkinoff, who was to become a close friend, muse, and model. Dali also met Amanda Lear, a fashion model. Lear became his protege and one of his muses. According to Lear, she and Dali were united in a spiritual marriage on a deserted mountaintop.
Dali bought a castle in Pyrbaug for Gala, and from 1971, she would retreat there for weeks at a time. Dali had agreed not to visit her without permission. His fears of abandonment and estrangement from his longtime artistic muse contributed to depression and
in 1980,
health.
At age 76, Dali's health deteriorated sharply, and he was treated for depression, drug addiction, and Parkinson-like symptoms, including a severe tremor in his right arm. There were also allegations that Gala had been supplying Dali with pharmaceuticals from her own prescriptions.
Gala died in June of 1982 at the age of 87. After her death, Dali moved from Figueres to the castle in Pyrbaug, where she
in
was
entombed. In 1982, King Juan Carlos bestowed on Dali the title of Marqués de Dalí del Pueblo in the nobility of Spain. The title was initially hereditary, but at Dali's request, it was changed to life only.
In May of 1983, what was said to be Dali's last painting, The Swallow's Tale, was revealed. The work was heavily influenced by the mathematical catastrophe theory of Rainfall. However, some critics have questioned whether or not Dali could have executed a painting with such great precision given the severe tremor in his right arm.
From early 1984, Dali's depression worsened and he refused food, leading to severe malnourishment. In August of 1984, a severe electrical fire broke out in his bedroom and he was hospitalized for severe burns.
There have been allegations that Dali was forced by his guardians to sign blank canvases that could later be used in forgeries. It is also said that he knowingly sold otherwise blank lithograph paper that he had signed, possibly producing over 50,000 such sheets over a 24-year period. As a result, art dealers are typically wary of the late graphic works
In
attributed to
July of
Dali.
1986, Dali had a pacemaker implanted and was quoted saying, "When you are a genius, you do not have the right to die, because we are necessary for the progress of humanity." In November of 1988, Dali entered the hospital with heart failure. On December 5th, 1988, he was visited by King Juan Carlos. Dali gave the king a drawing, Head of Europa, that would turn out to be Dali's final drawing.
On the morning of January 23rd, 1989, while his favorite record of Tristan and Isolde played, Dali died of heart failure at the age of 84. He is buried in the crypt below the stage of his theater museum in Figueres. The location is right across the street from the Church of St. Pierre, where he had his first baptism, first communion, and funeral.
The Gala Salvador Dali Foundation currently serves as his official estate.
On June 26, 2017, it was announced that a judge in Madrid had ordered the exhumation of Dali's body in order to obtain samples for a paternity suit. Joan Manuel Sevillano, manager of the official estate, deemed the exhumation inappropriate. Nevertheless, the exhumation took place in July and DNA was extracted. On September 6, 2017, the foundation stated that the tests carried out conclusively proved that Dali and the claimant were not related. On May 18, 2020, a Spanish court ordered her to pay for the costs of the exhumation.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode today. We want to thank all of our listeners for being patient as we took a break from the podcast, and we hope you'll stay tuned for more episodes as we are planning on having a more regular schedule. As always, be sure to check us out on Instagram at the handle @TheMysteryBehindArtHistory, where we post episode updates, sneak peeks, and much more. Thanks for listening.